when Senator Lindsey Graham recently pulled his support for the much-anticipated climate change bill, the move was expected to kill the legislation, and many environmentalists were not mourning its loss. Following Graham's announcement, I spoke with Tyson Slocum of Public Citizens Energy Program on Uprising, who said that the bill would have done more harm than good. But it appears that Graham's support was not the linchpin holding the coalition together. On Wednesday, Senators John Kerry and Joe Lieberman introduced the American Power Act into the Senate. Explaining the legislation in an article on grist.org, Kerry speaks to environmentalists and says, "A comprehensive bill written purely for you and me, true believers, can't pass the Senate, no matter how passionately I fight on it." End of quote. So what did Senator Kerry fight for? The American Power Act requires heavy investments in the coal, nuclear, and natural gas industries. If an international agreement on emissions caps is not reached, the bill punishes developing countries by taxing their imports. Big agribusiness will be exempt from mandatory carbon reductions. And in the wake of the BP oil rig spill that has already pumped 3.5 million gallons of oil into the Gulf of Mexico, threatening to devastate local economies and wildlife, the American Power Act not only allows new offshore drilling, but encourages it by offering states financial incentives for new drilling projects. My guest is Eric Pica. He's the president of Friends of the Earth. Welcome to Uprising, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm assuming you take the same position that Tyson Slocum took, that this bill is probably going to do more harm than good to the planet?
Yeah, absolutely. We believe that this bill is a step backwards when it comes to regulating greenhouse gas emissions and putting the country on a clean, renewable energy investment path. Not only does it encourage more offshore drilling and invest heavily in nuclear power, but it also then removes the ability of the Environmental Protection Agency to regulate global warming gases underneath the Clean Air Act.
And on that issue, Senator Kerry, who I mentioned, said on grist.org, it seemed to highlight what sound like very positive aspects of the bill. On the issue of the EPA, he says that the bill does not take the EPA out of the mix on regulating carbon, but it strengthens the Clean Air Act by expanding the authority of the EPA and making that authority permanent. But it does say that the EPA will not be allowed to issue what in many cases would be duplicative regulation of the same sources. Is he trying to just basically whitewash this?
Yeah, he is basically substituting a program in the EPA that we won, Friends of the Earth helped litigate on it's called the Massachusetts versus EPA lawsuit. It decided upon by the Supreme Court that gave EPA or affirmed EPA's authority to regulate global warming emissions underneath the Clean Air Act. And so what he is talking about is, which has been a very successful program, in other types of air pollutants. What Senator Kerry is talking about is stripping that authority away and creating a new regulatory regime for EPA that, frankly, we don't believe is going to be as strong or as stringent as what EPA can currently do.
Hmm. Now, the aspect of the bill involving carbon pollution trading rights is an interesting one, and he defends that vehemently, saying that the bill would create a pollution reduction market that is incredibly important, and those are his words. He says, "We absolutely have to send a price signal to move to a new energy economy, and without it, we won't get the certainty we need in our economy that drives the innovation and investment in the clean energy economy." It's interesting that he says that you need these sorts of things, but in states like California, regulation seems to have created innovative responses to reducing pollution that is simply requiring that cars pollute less, right?
Yeah, no, precisely. I mean, there are a set of tools that are used at the state level and at the federal level called regulations that have pushed the energy industry as well as other industries to be safer, cleaner, more environmentally friendly. And to basically substitute those regulations out for a market-based program, to me, seems foolhardy, particularly since we've seen the meltdown of Wall Street and of the marketplace over the last 2 years. And, you know, to have this trading program, and, you know, they've done some work in this bill to prevent some of the larger excesses of Wall Street, but they still allow secondary markets to occur, which means you have potential derivatives trading. And then what's even more problematic from our point of view is it creates this new secondary market for offsets, which are basically reductions done elsewhere around the country, around the world, instead of the polluters actually doing the reductions themselves, that we believe could create this what we call subprime carbon, just like, you know, subprime mortgages, that actually undermine many of the reduction goals that the bill sets forth.
My guest is Eric Pica. He's president of the group Friends of the Earth, and he and many other environmentalists are very, very worried about the climate bill that has been revived now by Senators Joe Kerry and Joe Lieberman. It's called the American Power Act. It was just introduced into the Senate this week. Now, on the issue of drilling, offshore drilling, it's incredible that while the BP oil spill is literally threatening to be multiple times the devastation of the Exxon Valdez disaster, even as that is happening, this climate bill actually encourages states to get into oil drilling, offshore oil drilling. And Senator John Kerry has justified that, saying that states are still able to veto any drilling less than 75 miles off of its border, and any new rig will have to be studied for the environmental impact of the spill. How audacious is this aspect of the bill?
Yeah, no, it's foolhardy and tone deaf to what we're actually seeing occurring in the Gulf of Mexico right now. We know, for instance, that the Gulf of Mexico oil slick is well over 75 miles long. We're looking at several hundred miles. So, you know, the 75-mile veto is foolhardy. We know that the current Mineral Management Service was supposed to provide environmental impact assessments, and those have failed. We're seeing reports coming out daily of the federal government's inability to do real environmental assessments. And then, you know, to kick it all off with this cost-sharing arrangement that is in the Kerry-Lieberman bill, it actually sets up a way to bribe states to do more drilling, particularly in this time when states are suffering from tight budget crunches. It says if you allow drilling or you drill off your shores, we'll give you a cut of these federal revenues that we haven't given you in the past. So you can see very quickly how well-paid oil lobbyists can get into the state legislature and basically grease the path for more drilling.
It seemed as though before the BP oil spill happened, there was no stopping this move towards offshore drilling, with the mantra "drill, baby, drill," you know, being something that Americans seem to buy. But in the wake of this Gulf Coast spill, it doesn't seem to have affected much legislation. There is one, however, one piece of silver lining that's unrelated to the American Power Act, and that is a new piece of legislation separate, I believe, from this one that was introduced by Senators Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein of California, as well as a few other senators from Washington and Oregon, that would permanently ban offshore drilling off of the Pacific Coast. I'm not sure how this piece of legislation, if it were to go through, would be consistent or not with the American Power Act, but would you say that that separate legislation is a step in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think that legislation that the West Coast senators are producing, as well as there's legislation being drafted by New Jersey Senators Menendez and Lautenberg, as well as Florida Senator Nelson, which increase the liability that oil companies have to pay in these spills. Right now, BP is responsible for, I believe, $75 million, and we already know it's going to be a lot more than that. You know, they're looking at $10 billion. And so all these bills are well overdue, and what this bill has done is, I think, it's catalyzed energy from the senators and from the American public to really begin thinking about and questioning this whole concept of drill, baby, drill, and that there are places around off our coasts and on our public lands and private lands that just should not be open for drilling, period.
Let's go back to the climate bill, the American Power Act, introduced into the Senate this week. What about the investments in coal and nuclear energy?
Yeah, and we're still doing analysis on the investments, but from what we can tell, the nuclear power provisions is basically the wish list for the industry. It's new tax breaks for investment, new tax breaks for depreciation, loan guarantees. And so essentially, we should be talking about as a nation, given all these subsidies in this bill, whether we should just nationalize the nuclear power industry versus giving, you know, basically subsidizing all the risk and then letting them have
and
all
privatizing
the profits.
The profits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the same is true with the coal industry. I mean, we had miners die within the last month because of dirty mining and in West Virginia. And so, what this bill does is it says, you know, mining and coal is good. Let's subsidize it and try to make it cleaner. But we know from just our experience that coal mining is dirty, it's dangerous, it's deadly.
And there's no such thing as clean coal.
And there's no such thing as clean coal. We know that. And yet this bill perpetuates this myth that we can solve climate change by reinvesting billions of dollars in coal and nuclear power and oil and gas. The very same technologies that have led us into this problem.
Okay, Eric, let's wade into the difficult question now. If this bill is going to do more harm than good, what recourse is there for people who are interested in the fate of the planet?
Right.
At the legislative level, at the congressional level. And this bill, too, bad as it is still going to have a tough time passing the Senate, likely, for those who think it doesn't even go far enough in destroying the planet.
Yeah, and there are other bills out there, such as the Senator Cantwell and Collins has a bill called the CLEAR Act, which is a cap and dividend, which caps the global warming emissions and then puts a price on carbon, but then gives all the value of the permit, or 75% of it, back to the American public. And so it's a real discussion, there's a real discussion that needs to happen in the U.S. Senate. Do we negotiate with businesses and the very polluters that got us into this mess, or do we have a real honest dialogue with the American public? So that's one bill that's out there. There are other pieces of legislation, like a renewable energy standard that's in the Senate, that takes a much more measured approach to solving the global warming and energy problems that our country is facing that Friends of Earth would be supportive of. Mm-hmm. And finally, we have the Environmental Protection Agency, which has the current authority to regulate global warming emissions, and they're doing so. I mean, they just released a final rule yesterday that would start regulating global warming emissions from the largest polluters.
You're saying that it's best to not even have at this point a piece of legislation and just allow the EPA to do its thing because it seems to be doing more than anything else?
Yeah, let's make sure that we're getting the right piece of legislation and not rush to pass any piece of legislation because we want to show progress.
Let me quote Senator Kerry once more. He said, given a 2012 presidential campaign added to the dynamic and a lot of new senators, it's going to be less likely to find a path to get the 60 votes needed for passage. So we've got to get it done this year, meaning pass the climate bill this year. What do you make of that? I mean, it's true that by November we might have a different Senate with even fewer supporters of real climate change.
Yeah, and I would say in return that we're not seeing supporters of this bill crawl out of the woodwork right now. We saw, you know, the American Power Act has oil and gas drilling, substantial subsidies to nuclear power, takes away authority from the Clean Air Act. And there are no, at this point, Republicans that are supporting this bill. Senator Graham moved off this bill about a month ago. And so where is the support, given this pro-business approach, where is the support that Senator Kerry has been talking about? We just don't see it right now. And so it's time to, we have a bipartisan bill, the Cantwell-Collins bill, that needs to have hearings and has to go through the political process. But let's not get caught into the Kerry process is the only process that the Senate can debate and move. There are other options.
And the Cantwell bill is the CLEAR Act, right?
Yeah, that is a CLEAR Act.
Where can listeners find out more, Eric? Can you give out a website for your organization?
Yeah, we have a lot of global warming information on our website. It's www.foe.org.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Great. Well, thank you for having me.
Eric Pica is president of the group Friends of the Earth, which are online at foe.org. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, Wendell Berry once said, "To cherish what remains of the earth and to foster its renewal is our only legitimate hope of survival." That's Wendell Berry. That's Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day.